Good morning, Tucson, Arizona. Welcome to The Morning Voice. I am your host, Grant Kruger. Really excited to be here with you this Wednesday morning, May 7th. It is high season in the Old Pueblo right now. We are absolutely rocking. Still keeping that cooler weather out there. Kind of surprising, actually, that these first few days of May over here, as cool as they are. I packed up the patio heaters at Union Hospitality Group on Thursday, and I think we might have gone a little premature. Sure over there, Matt.
I was a couple bonus days here.
I was kind of regretting that patio heater decision there on Sunday and Monday, I think. I made a little bit of a mistake.
I'll never think of patio heaters the same after your story about having to schlep around town and get them filled to handle a busy weekend.
Yes, the stock in AmeriGas company over here will be going down, I think, in the Old Pueblo as we start to heat up this weekend. I see that the city of Tucson was launching a annual heat safety effort this week as well, too. Kind of ironic on the timing that it's been so cool these last couple of days. But lots of interesting things happening in you for food for thought today on the four things you need to know in the Old Pueblo. First and foremost, in an 8-hour soliloquy, a real filibuster of a city council meeting yesterday, Roque Perez was announced as the new city council person for Ward 5. Roque was appointed to replace Richard Fimbres, who had retired on the 1st of May. Kind of an interesting choice over here, Mr. Perez. Certainly a community activist of sorts, but only 26 years old. You know, pretty shocking to think that you could have a 26-year-old running a $2 billion budget, right? $2.4 billion. I think of myself having started my own company at 23. And at 23, I was barely adequate to run a $1 million a year bar in Mexico, right? Rather less, run an entire city worth billions and billions of dollars. And so Mr. Perez was appointed to run Ward 5 until the end of this calendar year. And of course, we're going to have an election in Ward 5 in November. As we reported a couple weeks ago, there had been a signature challenge on the Ward 5 elections where the signatures had been challenged by Jesse Lugo of a number of the competitors in that particular race. And it was looking like a couple of them were going to be eliminated. We didn't get time to get into that last week, but you may or may not know that those competitors are basically now back on the ballot because that signature challenge was unsuccessful, not because they were unable to disprove that these signatures were from registered voters or that they lived in Ward 5, but based on a technicality.
Yep.
That Jesse Lugo essentially delivered that paperwork to the city himself rather than using a process server. Sort of an interesting and odd technicality, and probably one that others are going to have to learn from moving forward in this signature process, because as long as we continue to use this as a tool to vet out candidates and prove their worthiness, we're going to see more and more signature challenges come up, whether it's for signature, for citizens initiatives, right? Ballot initiatives out there to try to do such things as raise the minimum wage. We've seen ballot initiatives out there to try to get rid of the ward-only election system in the city of Tucson. And so, like, these challenges are a real thing. And I think everybody moving forward learned a lesson real quick that, A, you might want to use a lawyer in this one, right? Representing yourself sometimes is not the best, as the old Proverbs would say, and ultimately a little lesson about how that process works so that this doesn't happen in the future. So we've got a more crowded field in Ward 5 than we might have with up to four candidates again in that particular race.
But the primary is the election.
Correct.
Barring, I guess somebody could do a write-in.
Correct. There could be, in theory, a successful write-in candidacy, but in this particular case, the primary is really going to decide our Ward 5 candidate, because there is no Republican running right now in Ward 5 that represents that sort of south side of Tucson over there. And so whoever wins this Democrat primary is going to be our next Ward 5 representative, and they will replace Mr. Perez, who's sitting in for this particular term. Also as well today, the real ID starts, right? Arizona Flyers need to be a little bit more careful if you're making your way to TIA or into Phoenix, as your ye old driver's license may not be sufficient as federal identification to get on a plane on a national level. Now, this doesn't mean you have to run off and get a brand new driver's license in any capacity. Quite frankly, you could use your U.S. passport or your U.S. passport card to travel, and probably many air passengers already have that sort of documentation. But you do need to be aware that starting today, after essentially a 17-year process, I mean, this literally started in 2008 and has had delays like longer than just about anything I can think of. I mean, when you think
what had more delays, the Broadway widening or this?
The Broadway widening, I think, started in about
in the 80s.
Yeah,
you're right.
Yes,
point
yes.
taken.
But Real ID has been around since basically the mid-2000s with a number of legal challenges and delays and COVID delays and whatnot. But literally today is the day. And so you need to be careful about that one.
So DHS did back, I had it in the news, the DHS did back off and they said, well, you know, you'll still be allowed to fly. You may get some additional screening. So of course, and they said Arizona compliance is about just under half, 46% of drivers currently have gotten the quote unquote Real ID.
Correct. And that's why we're bringing that one up today, that this is definitely something to finally start watching, because the last thing you want to do at the airport is have additional stress above and beyond anything else that goes on in the airport. You know, the airport's a pretty interesting place for food service. I always talk about restaurants on our show over here. And we've got a Maverick inside of Tucson Airport. Those that don't know, in the Southwest Terminal on the right-hand side, there's a little bar over there branded the Maverick. But we don't get to operate those in the same way traditional restaurants work. As it works out, quite frankly, it's not so easy to staff restaurants inside of an airport. Every single employee that works at that airport has to go through a TIA, you know, background check in some capacity. And as you can imagine, the back of house employees may or may not have some challenges passing that sort of thing. And so in general, the operations of these restaurants are subbed out to large national companies, the Delaware Norths, the Aramarks of the world that handle that sort of stuff. And that happens in our local restaurant, and that happens in some of the other ones that you see in the Tucson International Airport as well, too, including Beyond Bread and Empire Pizza and others like it. Coming up on the news as well, too, the water fight may be over between unincorporated Pima County and the city of Tucson. In an 8-hour board of supervisor meeting yesterday, the supervisors voted 3-2 to not legally challenge the city of Tucson's attempt to charge a differential water rate for residents in unincorporated Pima County. Not shockingly, the two supervisors that voted against not fighting this were Steve Christie and Rex Scott, both of whom, you know, have a constituency that has a lot of non-City of Tucson
water customers, sure.
Right? But what made it interesting with this 3-2 vote is that recently appointed Andres Cano, the supervisor who took the seat of Adelita Grijalva, had worked for the city of Tucson, as early as about 3 weeks ago. And it's kind of interesting that he suddenly was the deciding vote in the differentiation to not sue the city in any capacity. In a 3-2 vote yesterday, the Board of Supervisors has voted not to move forward with any sort of legal challenge, leaving the legal challenges up to you, the listener, the water user out there. So somebody out there in the universe, in the county, is most likely going to take this opportunity to take a stab at the city and give them a little bit of a legal headache and heartache over charging differential water rates between the two municipalities. However, you're going to do it without the cocoon of the county's attorneys backing you in any capacity. On sad news today, it came across our desk that former state lawmaker George Cunningham passed away yesterday evening. George was the father of current Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham and happened to work for many, many years as both a House representative, as a state senator. He was one of the VPs at the University of Arizona, a really great public servant over here, passing away at the age of 80 yesterday. And so our condolences go out to the Cunningham family for losing such a great patriarch of their family. Mr. George Cunningham has passed away at the age of 80. Now, when we come back after the break, we're going to bring in a budding young entrepreneur who's worked on his third family restaurant that's just opened up on the Sunshine Mile. on Broadway as of April 22nd. We've got Colby Quiz is going to come up after the break. They've opened up Quisty's Sandwiches. It happens to be located in the Solot Plaza, Broadway and Tucson area. He's going to bring us the latest, greatest about opening up restaurants in the city of Tucson. As Matt talked about this Broadway expansion, you know, going beyond nearly two decades over here, we're starting to get the fruits of our labor, and we're going to talk to Colby Quist, restaurateur and entrepreneur, coming up after the break. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Grant Kruger on The Morning Voice, 10:30 a.m., your home for local news and talk. Welcome back to The Morning Voice. I am your host, Grant Kruger. You know, we're always talking about new restaurants, openings, closings, great things happening in the Old Pueblo. And one of the neatest things to me is what's been happening on Broadway. Even though at the top of the hour, Matt and I were bemoaning about how long it took for this Broadway widening to happen, and I think there's still a lot of action that needs to happen over there, there's a real bright spot on the north side of Broadway. Happens to be the sort of northeast corner of Broadway and Tucson over here, and that's the Solot Plaza. There's a lot of new restaurant bars and activity and life going on in that plaza right now. A big thanks, of course, to Larson Baker and to Rio Nuevo for throwing down a lot of cash to make that area happen. And part of the fruits of all of that labor happens to be sitting across the desk from me right now. I've got entrepreneur Mr. Colby Quist, owner of Quisty's Sandwiches. Good morning, Colby.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks so much for joining us on The Morning Voice today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to be here. And this is just a really awesome experience.
Why don't you break down for our listeners like what restaurants you and your family own and operate right now?
So currently we have Jimmy's Pita and Poke. So we have the one on University Boulevard. And then we have the other Jimmy's Pita and Poke. It's on Thornydale and Orange Grove.
Okay. So you got a northwest side location.
Yep.
You've got a university location right now. And you guys just opened up, like in the last few days over here, Quisty's Sandwiches on Broadway, right?
Yep, that's exactly right. So that's very, very fresh. We just opened up. It's a really exciting concept. Kind of my brainchild I've been thinking about for a while. So just really happy to be in that Solot Plaza. I mean, that's a really, really great location just with all the different Tucson businesses. And just excited to kind of take the plunge into a new restaurant, right?
Yeah, you've got some pretty cool neighbors over there as well too, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's like the perfect place for me, right? I get there in the morning to make the sauces and things like that for Quisty's, and I hit Decibel Coffee. And then midway through the day, once Sendin' Leaf opens, I'll get my tea, and then I can finish the day off at the Broadway and have a little adult beverage. So
right, and Rocco's has moved over there as well too. So
Rocco's,
I mean, there's a lot of food service on that one. We've had Shane Barella on the show as well too from Sendin' Leaf, so he's a veteran of The Morning Voice over here, and we're really excited for his location to pop up open. Any idea on that date yet of when they're coming? It's got to be soon.
It's got to be really, really soon. I'm gonna say either this week or next week. I mean, I saw it yesterday, and it is absolutely beautiful. I mean, it's just like such a great little vibe. It's right across from Decibel. It's really cool and it's beautiful. I mean, he does a really good job, so.
I love it. We work with Dana and Decibel Coffee over at Union Hospitality Group. I'm actually having some Decibel Coffee right now as we speak and enjoying it.
I mean,
here.
How good is it? It's the cold brew there, it's just like jet fuel. I mean, it like gets me going. So I absolutely love it.
It's a big part of the voice of The Morning Voice over here as well, too. Decibel Coffee, without a doubt.
You guys can talk a little longer. I may just run up there for a little sample,
Right? This is not a paid advertisement either in any way, shape, or form.
It's just a great block. There's a lot of great businesses in there, and it's really easy to talk about them. I mean, they do things the right way, so.
Without a doubt. So why don't you break it down for our listeners a little bit about your background, Colby? How did you get started in the restaurant business?
Yeah, so I mean, I was born and raised in a restaurant family. You know, my mom and stepdad had been doing restaurants ever since I was about 10 years old, so they used to have me come in and help them with the register or anything that I needed to do after school. And I just kind of enjoyed it, right?
And no child labor law violations over here.
No, never, never, never. It was all, I wanted to go over there and spend time with them. And I got to learn that. And, after high school, I went to college and, I wanted to be a lawyer. That's what I wanted to be. But the more I worked, the more I realized that I just loved restaurants. I was a waiter in college and I was like, man, this is awesome. Like, I love the personal aspect of it and dealing with people.
Where did you wait tables at, Colby?
I waited tables at Shogun Sushi, and I actually ate there last night, which is hilarious enough to think about. But so Shogun Sushi off of Oracle and River.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I absolutely loved it. It was really fun and the food was great. And I remember I was doing that because I didn't want to work for my mom in college.
No, and understand. commandable position over there as well, too. But almost everybody that's successful in the restaurant business gets their chops working in the restaurant, starting from, if not the bottom, really close to the bottom of the industry as well, too, to get the valuable experience you need to be successful, no?
Absolutely. I can't agree with that enough. I mean, after I waited tables at Shogun, I actually moved out to California to do a corporate job after college. And I was like working 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday through Friday. And I was like, man, this really isn't for me. I really, really miss restaurants. So I actually moved back to Tucson and worked for my mom. And I started as the night manager there. I'd work 6 days a week from four to close, you know, and I enjoyed it. It wasn't like that much. It was work, obviously, but I really just enjoyed being in there and talking to customers and things like that. And from that aspect is how I really got into food. Like, okay, well, how do I make this, or what makes this good? And that's how I kind of got my start in the restaurants, to really get that like entrepreneurial mindset to kind of dive deeper into things and how things work, right? I'm not just going to work for my mom and get a paycheck, but how can I grow and how can I make food something that I really want to be a part of my life? So
now the university store was the first of the family stores over here, right?
Yeah. So Jimmy's on University was the first one. And then after about a year, we opened the one off of River. So it's funny. It's River, but it's really Thornydale. Like the address is River, but it's like right when River turns into Thornydale and Orange Grove.
I understand that confusion over there. It confuses a lot of visitors in the wintertime as well, too, sir.
Absolutely. I mean, it still confuses me. When people are like, where's the other one? I'm like, is it Thornydale? No, it's Thornydale and the Orange Grove. Yeah. So, so we did that one there. And I actually ended up taking over both of the Jimmy's in 2020 in January, which is, if you know, a hilarious thing to kind of take over right before COVID happened, is when they kind of just gave me the keys to the castle and they went and did other business endeavors. And I got to navigate that.
Yeah, what imperfect timing if you think about it, like to be handed the keys to the castle of a restaurant group 2 months before the massive COVID closure over here. Talk about a baptism by fire, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely like drinking from a fire hose, because I had just done the university location. I was kind of like the general manager there. After I was the night manager, and my mom did the River Road location. And then after, she's like, hey, I kind of want to like do something else. You love restaurants. Like, do you want to take it over? I'm like, yeah, absolutely. Like, great. I can like be my own boss type of thing. I still have my bosses, right? But I got to take those over. And, you know, I think it was in March or April, kind of the world came to a screeching halt. And I was like, whoa, what's this going to be like? I mean, I hadn't done any of the 2008 stuff or anything like that. So it was just definitely a trial by fire to try to navigate that.
Without a doubt. And university can already be a tough place to begin with. We've had a number of restaurateurs with locations on University of part of Main Gate Square as part of our shows over here on KVOI. Richard Pfeiffer, right, from Basio and Agave House and Gentle Ben's. Jimmy's is on the same side of the street as Gentle Ben's on that north side of University. What's it like operating a store on campus? Like, how seasonal is that?
It is so seasonal. I mean, it's great. Right. Like, the students are amazing and the people around that area are amazing. But I mean, the biggest issue we face is definitely parking for the local Tucson people. So even when, you know, the summer comes around, people think that we don't have parking down there. But like, really, the back end parking there, it's pretty much empty in the summer. Like, we lose probably about 50% of our sales just overnight. Like, you never know when all the kids are leaving, and then all of a sudden they're just gone. And you're like, okay, time to, you know, cut the payroll and things like that. And you just got to plan for it. It's just a learning experience, and it's the same every year. The students all leave on the same day. It's like you do great numbers and then boom, they're down. You're like, all right, summer's here.
Without a doubt. And that restaurant season goes till about May 20th or so, more or less, because you get, you know, Mother's Day, you got Cinco de Mayo, you get Mother's Day, you got Mexican Mother's Day as well, too. We'll talk about that one at the top of the hour and the difference between those ones as well. But then you get U of A graduation and even a little bit of high school graduation as well, too. And then it's sort of over, right? You hit about Memorial Day and that's the end of season here.
Yeah, definitely. You hit that Memorial Day and it just comes to a screeching halt, but it actually works out really well for Jimmy's on University, because a lot of the students, a lot of my staff, they leave too. So I get to keep my full-time people. I get to give them their full-time hours, the people that are there every single day. And I never have to like let people go, which is great because of all the college students. They just go home and I'm like, yeah, no problem. Full-time people get their hours.
So there's sort of a natural attrition over here that coincides with about the slow period either way.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And that's why majority of the staff over there are the college students, because it just works out perfectly that way. I have the Tucson local people that have been with me for a really long time now. Gosh, like 5-6 years. So, and it's just great to be able to give them their hours and things like that over at university. So,
without a doubt. Now, you opened up the first Jimmy's in 2017, mm-hmm. right? The second one at River/Thornydale at 2018. Mm-hmm. But we got till 2025 over here with Quisties. Like, that's a pretty long gap in between.
Definitely. I mean, it's definitely a long, it's definitely a big gap. And I think it was just mostly me. I mean, I've always wanted to do a third Jimmy's or something like that. But obviously with COVID, there was a lot of uncertainty. And I was kind of just trying to navigate that. And I think that that made me a better restaurateur and like learning how to operate when things are really going south, or like we have to pivot to takeout, or, you know, use DoorDash and things like that. So it took a long time, but also it just took a long time with Quisties, right? I think I signed my LOI in like 2023. I actually signed it at Union.
Nice. Glad to be part of that particular deal in some sort of backhanded way.
Yeah. But so I remember that I signed that, and it was just a long, long process with the city of Tucson and getting that block up and running. So, in, you know, it took me a long time to build out as well. So it was just a long time coming, and you know, 2 years before I opened the doors is a long time, but it gave me the time to really, really like dial in and figure out what I wanted to do and the route that I wanted to take. So, because I changed my mind like 10 times, right?
Of course, there's no secret perfect formula for this sort of thing, you know, mm-hmm. especially when you're opening up your own business, you know, your own baby with your own ideas. And that's where I want to go to when we come back after the break. We're going to break down the genesis of opening up your own restaurant from scratch over here. We're talking to Colby Quist, owner of Quisties Sandwiches, that just opened up on April 22nd on Broadway on the Solot Plaza in the Sunshine Mile. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Grant Kruger and Colby Quist on 1030 AM The Voice, your home for local news and talk.
Now, the theme song for restaurant owners who do morning radio, talking in your sleep.
I am talking in my sleep quite a bit over here, I think, as well, too, Mr. Matt Neely. Welcome back to The Morning Voice. I am your host, Grant Kruger, talking fueled up on some Decibel Coffee over here. And the neighbor to Decibel Coffee happens to be live in the KVOI studios with me. Welcome back, Mr. Colby Quist, owner of Quisties Sandwiches.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me again.
Hey, so we were talking before the break about your family history and Jimmy's Pita and Pokey and its couple of locations, and you've opened up your own restaurant, right? Your baby over here on April 22nd, Quisties on Broadway has opened up, part of the expansion on the Sunshine Mile over here. Give us the backstory of Quisties. Like, how did you come up with this dream to open up your own space?
You know, I mean, it really just comes down to me absolutely loving sandwiches. Like, sandwiches are my absolute favorite food. And when I'm looking around Tucson, nobody did sandwiches the way that I wanted to do sandwiches. So it just kind of all came to fruition that way. Like, I wanted really high quality meats. I wanted like from scratch sauces, local baked bread, things like that. And I wanted it to all be encompassing. And when I was looking around Tucson, I really didn't see anybody doing that, you know, and I could be wrong, but when I was looking, it was just like, oh man, it's kind of just like, you know, you have your Subways and your Jersey Mike's, and then you have like kind of the older like deli style, like sausage deli, things like that, which are great, but they weren't doing things that I wanted to do. So I kind of wanted to find a niche.
So bringing up Subway, you know, Subway as a chain has been going backwards now for a number of years. There was a time about a decade and a half ago that Subway had more franchises than in the United States domestically than any other restaurant in the entire country. They had over 27,000 restaurants, Subway. At the close of 2024, I looked it up, they had 19,502 Subways, having closed 600 stores in just the last year over here. Why do you think that sandwich category is going backwards?
You know, I think with Subway, a lot of people in today's age, I feel like they're looking for more quality food, right? Everything is expensive now, I feel like. And when it comes down to Subway, I just feel like they're not using the best meats, or I don't know if they're cutting their vegetables fresh. Like, I think Jersey Mike's is better than Subway because they do cut their vegetables fresh and they use a little bit of a high quality meat. And I think when people are going out to eat, they want to get something that they really can't make at home, right? They want to go and they want to enjoy something that's higher quality or something like that, not just, you know, some sandwich and some bread, right? So...
Without a doubt. So what makes Quisties different? Like, what gives you guys that quality that supersedes these particular chains? Because there are some heavy-hitting chains you go up against when you step into the sandwich arena.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what sets us apart, I mean, we make our sauces from scratch. We're making ranch from scratch. We're making garlic spread, chipotle mayo, chipotle ranch. The other thing is just the quality of meat. So the quality of meat that we're getting, we're importing that meat from Italy. So all of our Italian meats are imported from Italy. And I remember the first time I tried it, I was like, oh my gosh, this is what ham is supposed to taste like. I mean, it's crazy to think about, like, the difference in quality. You know, the capicola gets $1 an ounce. You know, it's not cheap. So,
well, and speaking of imported, like, meats and cheeses, like, do you worry that the upcoming potential tariffs on imported European products might affect your cost of goods sold?
Definitely. I'm definitely worried about the tariffs, but I feel like the United States and Italy kind of are having a good relationship, so I might be able to dodge that bullet because they're looking like they're going to work together, but it's definitely at the back of my mind, and I'm almost to the point, it's like, either do it or don't, because I can't keep living in limbo, right? So definitely something to think about, but as of right now, you know, knock on wood, nothing has changed, so we're just going to keep trucking along and keeping prices the same.
Love it. Yeah. Well, you know, it's a difficult balance, of course, because even on a good year, prices seem to go up every single year. And I'm not talking about the retail price that the customers see. I'm talking about the price that you, Colby, pay for your products and services. Everything from the soda vendors to the paper and chemical vendors to all your food and alcohol vendors, everything just goes up and up and up every single year.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm sure you've seen this price of chicken. The price of chicken's through the roof. I mean, I remember I used to pay like 90 cents a pound for chicken, and now I think I pay $3.68. And it's like, whoa. And like, how do you navigate that? And it's really hard because you can't pass that on to your customers all the time, right? You kind of have to take the blow until prices can come back down, you know, because all of a sudden if I'm like, oh, a chicken bowl's $19, people aren't going to eat there. So it's just that constant battle, right, with prices and suppliers and trying to find the best price. And it's just, it's not easy for sure.
Without a doubt. Speaking of not easy, opening up your own restaurant from scratch in a historic building is no small feat either, Colby. Like, this is a pretty tough thing to do, to get through all the various inspections and get this old dog back up to code and get it working.
Yeah.
Give us a couple of the challenges that you guys have had opening up Quisties.
Yeah, so I think that the biggest challenge that I had was just kind of learning what goes into it, right? So my parents had opened restaurants before, but I had never done it. And my parents did a really good job of like, hey, if you do this yourself, you are going to learn better. So they were always there, of course, if I had questions, but a lot of those things I needed to figure out for myself. Like, okay, so when I'm building this kitchen, I have to have a hand wash sink so close to this prep table, or a hand wash sink by this, or 36 inches from the wall. And there's so many things that go into it that I didn't think about. And then the historic side of it, like, you can't change certain things because it changes the building, and, you know, fire suppression for the hood. I mean, that took me the longest for sure. I think it took 6 weeks for my hood to be approved by the city. And when you look at my hood, it's like my wingspan, right? It's like, this isn't very big. Like, why does this take so long? So, and that kind of just pushes everything back, and trying to navigate that aspect of code and all of the there's Pima County Health Department, then there's the city of Tucson, and that was all really, really difficult for me to kind of understand, right? I thought it was just like, open the business.
Right. And I think this is something that the general public doesn't often understand, is just how many layers of government hit restaurants on a regular basis, right? People ask me all the time, why are you involved in politics, Grant? Like, why in the world would a restaurateur get involved with the government in any capacity? And I always say, like, we're touched by every element of the government that's out there. We've got the federal government, right? And all kinds of federal FLSA laws and OSHA laws. And then you've got the state Department of Health Services. You've got the Pima County Health Department. You've got the City of Tucson Fire. You're getting touched by code developments, parking, handicap spaces, ADA. Like, everything comes across a restaurateur's desk.
I mean, absolutely everything, right? Like, you need to submit your plans to the health department so they can approve them. And you have to submit your plans to the City of Tucson so they can approve them. And then you have to deal with fire, and it's all separate, right? It's not like a one-stop shop where you just go and you drop off your plans and then they all look at it together. And if you don't do it, nobody's going to tell you to do it. So you can get to the very end and you're like, wait, I have to submit my plans to the health department, if you didn't know, right? And like, thank God for my parents, because I wouldn't have thought that. I thought when I take my plans to the city, we're good to go.
Of course. This is one of the big challenges of opening up inside of the City of Tucson, right? Mm-hmm. And it's why you see so few urban infill projects right now in the city. A large portion of our growth happens to be on the northwest side of town or on the southeast side of town in these new fledgling communities of Marana, of Vail, where they tend to be a little more business friendly. I'm really personally excited that you guys chose to open up on the Sunshine Mile on Broadway over here and really bring some life to an area that's been dark for an awful long time as well too. Can you talk about some of the growth you've maybe seen on Broadway since you've been in this project?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, just starting with the Soul Block in itself, I mean, that is an absolutely beautiful block. Larson Baker and Rio Nuevo did such a good job on that. And I remember hearing about that and I was like, oh my gosh, like, this is what Tucson needs, is like the revamp of kind of that central area, in my opinion, around the university and near Sam Hughes. And just how things are coming up and blowing up there is really, really impressive. And I think there's like two more blocks that they're going to do on that Broadway thing and on that Broadway Boulevard road. And it's really bringing a lot of traffic to that area. I mean, just in the Soul Block itself, I mean, Rocco's is like so great to have in there. He has such a great following and such a great business. And the parking lot's always full, right? So that's a really, really awesome thing. I remember when I would first go to the Soul Block, I'm like, wow, like, you know, is this going to be that busy, right? I mean, you can only get into it from two different ways, but now it's just like, there are so many people that want to support local Tucson businesses in Tucson that Soul Block and that Broadway area is really blowing up. So
that's one of my favorite parts about Tucson and Tucsonans, is that there really is a heart for locally owned businesses. It's one of the reasons that I do the Morning Voice over here on KVOI, specifically to get the opportunity to engage with business operators like yourself that are local restaurateurs in the grind every single day, laying it out there to bring awesome locally operated food service establishments to Southern Arizona.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can tell from the people, right? And they really respect the hard work from the restaurateurs, especially the Tucsonans. I really feel that because, you know, we take the time to make the sauces from scratch at Quisties. We take the time to, you know, source that local bread, and people respect that and they appreciate that. And that's what makes Tucson such a great food city, is that the people in Tucson want that. So I really want to play into that. And that's why I love Tucson. I mean, I was born and raised here and we all support each other, right?
I love it. It's one of my favorite parts about the 520. Well, let's take this opportunity to take a quick break from our sponsors. We've got one more segment with Colby Quist, owner of Quisties Sandwiches, just opened up on Broadway in the Solot block on the Sunshine Mile. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to 10:30 a.m. The Voice. Welcome back to The Morning Voice. I am your host, Grant Kruger, and we've got one more segment over here with a budding young entrepreneur, Mr. Colby Quist. He's opened up Quisties Sandwiches on Broadway, and we're talking about some of his favorite dishes that you can go out and try out at Quisties right now. Colby, what are some of your faves on the menu over there?
Yeah, so I'm addicted to it right now. It's called the Hammer over there. It's going to be Italian ham with Italian spicy soppressata. Spicy soppressata is like a pepperoni, and then we have our from scratch garlic spread that is just incredible. I can't eat enough of it. It's mayo based, and I mean, I'm a big mayo guy myself, so I absolutely love that. And one of my absolute favorite things there is on the weekends we have focaccia bread from Holy Focaccia, and she makes just incredible bread. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you can get that focaccia bread from Holy Focaccia. And I remember trying it for the first time and I was like, we can stop the search.
Right. This is it. This is my bread producer right here.
Absolutely. So she does such a great job. And I mean, the ciabatta bread we get from Vero's Italian Bakery is just next level good too. I mean, I think of ciabatta bread, I think hard. And I tried this and it was just soft and amazing. And we have that all week. And getting the cha-cha on that's another Italian sub. It's going to have that capicola I talked about earlier with ham and salami, Napoli salami, and all those are also imported meats with the garlic spread, of course. And
you're making me hungry over here. This sounds delicious.
I mean, that's
man.
The job.
You had right? me garlic.
Yeah, exactly. Garlic. Yeah. I mean, it's super good. And the other one that's actually been the most popular is going to be the schoolyard, which is going to be turkey and bacon. And with that turkey, it actually takes me 30 days to get the turkey because it's a small little brand. And that's been a challenge in itself to get it. But I remember I tried that turkey for the first time and I was like, stop the search.
Right. This is it. This is the goods right over here.
Yeah. And that one's going to have turkey and bacon, avocado, lettuce, tomato, onion, ranch that we make from scratch, a lot of dill in that ranch, and mayonnaise. And that's been a top seller for a lot of people. So, I mean, gosh, I'm already starting to get hungry. Luckily, I can go eat at 8:30.
So you've been open about 2 weeks now, since April 22nd. How's business going so far?
You know, I am very, very happy with the way things have gone. We had a lot of people, like we talked about, in the Tucson community come out, and I actually had to hire 3 people right after we opened. I thought we were going to open, and it was kind of going to be like a slow, steady build, but we opened and our lunches have been booming. So I'm really, really grateful for that. And a lot of people coming out to support. And I remember I was on the news last Friday, and that Saturday was like the craziest day I've ever worked in my life in 8 years of doing restaurants. So we did like 100 tickets in 2 hours.
Yeah, that first world problem. But yes, yeah. I understand it. You actually need to be careful about that one because you can start off too hot sometimes exactly. as well too and really hurt yourself.
Absolutely. And that's something that I absolutely worry about. You know, when you're that busy, you want to make sure that people are still getting good quality, that you're not making errors on their food, right? Like if somebody doesn't want onions, we don't want to put onions on there. And that was definitely something that I was worried about, right? It's kind of better to get that slow, steady build as you figure out operations, because I can think I have everything dialed in perfectly when I'm like building this build out, but then you open, you're like, wait, this doesn't work, right?
So, of course.
So I was worried about that, and that's what I tell my staff too. I'm like, listen, this is everybody's first week, okay? This is also my first week, so we all got to work together to make sure that we just deliver the quality that Quisties can bring, right? Because you try the whole menu beforehand, but then you got to make it right, and then you got to get it to people on time. So that was definitely a learning process, but my staff's been doing great, and the processes, thank God, have been working well. So I'm really just grateful. So just got to keep it up.
Well, that experience in working with your folks' stores too certainly had to help and give you the idea, the operational fortitude to be able to handle a big lunch rush like that, no?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, we get super busy at Jimmy's too, which is a great thing, and kind of just navigating that and not getting stressed out, right? As the leader of the team in the back, you got to just keep a level head and make sure that, you know, you're not the one that's stressing out, because then everybody's going to stress out. So definitely going through that process with my folks and watching how they did it really helped me to succeed in this business, right? So it's been definitely a blessing.
No, you're really blessed to have had both a supportive family to help you out in this process. And like, it's pretty neat to think that they kind of let you go on your own over here too and learn some of that process as well too.
Absolutely. And I can't say thank you enough to them for that. I mean, that's a really, really big thing, just to kind of like, hey, do this. And I always tell them that Jimmy's is my first child, so I'm not going anywhere just because I opened my own restaurant. Like, don't worry, I'm still Jimmy's is, you know, my baby.
Without a doubt. So we've only got a couple minutes left over here. Why don't you give us where those Jimmy's locations are located at?
Yeah, so we have Jimmy's Pita and Poke. That's going to be at 845 East University Boulevard. It's right across the street from No Anchovies and Frog and Firkin, if you're familiar with the area. And then we also have Jimmy's on River Road, which is 3820 West River Road. And that's going to be next to the Pinkberry across from the Popeyes. And then Quisties, obviously, in the Soul Block. Beautiful, beautiful new development over there. And that's going to be at 2575 East Broadway Boulevard. The main thing with that Soul Block is there is a ton of parking in the back. A lot of people see it from Broadway and think, oh, there's no parking. How am I going to get to this beautiful new shopping center? But there's a ton of parking in the back for all of the patrons. So,
and not only have you made Grant and myself hungry, I've gotten calls. You've made some of the listeners hungry. So expect some some hungry folks for an early lunch.
Absolutely, yeah. We are open every single day from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. at Quisty Sandwiches. So you can come down there. You can grab yourself a coffee. You can grab yourself an adult beverage if you want from the Broadway. You can get yourself a sandwich, and you can wrap it up with either a haircut, nails. You can go to a workout class. I mean, it's all-encompassing in that little block there. So
I love it. Well, I'm really excited and blessed that we had the opportunity to spend part of your Wednesday morning with you over here, Colby. Thank you for spending part of your morning with The Morning Voice and our listeners today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. I really, really appreciate it. This has been awesome.
It's been a pleasure. Sounds like we've got a road trip over there to Quisty's Sandwiches at Broadway in Tucson in the Sunshine Mile. Do go out there and check it out. We've got a whole nother hour of The Morning Voice coming up for you after the break. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Grant Krueger on 10:30 a.m. The Voice. You're home for local news and talk.
And coming up tomorrow on The Morning Voice, with Tom Moulton, filming in Southern Arizona with guest Mark Sankey, manager, Mezcal Movie Location, and Peter Kelenote, the director of Film Tucson. That's coming up tomorrow, 7 to 9 on The Morning Voice with Tom Moulton.
Welcome back, Tucson, Arizona, to The Morning Voice. I am your host, Grant Krueger. You know, lots of neat things happening in the restaurant business, of course, over the next couple of weeks. This is the highest of our high season, as we talk about so often on this show. These peak couple of weeks that coincide to hit right around the U of A graduation time in both December and May make it about as spicy of a season as you could possibly ask for, right? We're not just America's best Mexican food over here. We're some of Arizona's busiest restaurants when our big, you know, economic driver, the University of Arizona, has all of its students graduate. Well, big tops come into the restaurants quite regularly, right? A big top is a term we use for tables of, say, more than eight, right? When I've got to put that third table together, at that point, you're a big top because it requires some dealing for a restaurant to get three tables right next to each other in some capacity. If you come in with 20 dining guests, you always want your table to be one big, giant king's table, which isn't always such an easy thing to achieve, right? For us, it can be a very inefficient way of seating people, taking, you know, four tops to turn them into one big table to seat 12. But it also can become challenging when we've got to serve everybody simultaneously, right? Hitting 20 meals all at the table at the exact same moment is no easy feat to do. And it happens more regularly during graduations when you get the entire extended family all coming
for the aunts, the uncles, you bet.
Correct. Yeah. So often the success or failure of a restaurant experience can be denoted or annotated with simultaneous service. The act that all 20 meals are dropped off within a very short period of each other. If it's grandma's 70th birthday and everyone's got their meal except for grandma, we're all sitting there awkwardly at the table, you know, waiting for that meal to be dropped off because we're polite, right? Matt was raised right that he's not going to start until everybody's got their meal. Well, with a two-top or a four-top, this isn't so hard to achieve. But you start increasing that sample size to 6, to 8, to 10, to 12, to 20, and suddenly this gets to be a bit of a challenge. And so I do, you know, urge a little bit of patience to those out there visiting our local establishments, and we've got a lot of great ones over here, that when you go with 15 or 18 or 20 people, that is going to be a bit of a challenge as you, you know, hit these local places with tables of that size. Now, we've got a couple other
restaurants. Plus, you're going to have multiple big tops, as you call them.
Yes.
So it's not going to be just like one on a given night. It's going to be, you're going to have several of them.
Correct. This is why, like, when you go to a wedding, choice is eliminated. As sample size of customers goes up, the choice has to go down. You've probably been to a corporate luncheon where your choice is A or B, or A, B, and C, right? Here's the chicken, and here's the steak dish, and these are your choices. We can execute that pretty easily for 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 people. But you bring a 26-top off menu into any restaurant, even chains. Like, this isn't like a local thing, Matt, where they can't handle it. You go to the Cheesecake Factory and you drop 27 meals on them, all off menu, off of a table, and the kitchen is going to go down in flames. It's just the way it works. There are dishes that sometimes have a 2 or 3 minute, 4 minute cook time. Think like a chicken and waffles at Union Public House, a very popular dish. We have two waffle irons. It takes 3 minutes to make a waffle from scratch. I've got two waffle irons. So if 30 orders of chicken and waffles come in, well, you know, it's going to be a half an hour ticket time because just to make the waffles, the queuing of how that would work, it just wouldn't work. If I knew all 30 people were going to get that dish ahead of time, you can sandbag, you can figure out a way to make that happen. So these big tops really do present an interesting challenge for the restaurant business. And graduation probably has the biggest of the big tops, which is, you know, why I bring that up, I think, today on our Food for Thought. But getting into what's opening and closing, right? What's happening in the local Tucson restaurant scene over here? We've got, first and foremost, the Samurai Sombrero opening up in the American Eat Company, 1439 South 4th Avenue. They were a well-known food truck on the downtown scene over the last couple of years. And so you've got, like, this growing trend of you know, Japanese Mexican fusion popping up like all over the country.
I always think back to one of the early ones I saw on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives was Chino Bandito, which I think is still in existence up in the Phoenix Valley.
Right. And Sumo Maya up there in Scottsdale as well, too. A well-executed concept off of Scottsdale Road. And so we've got Samurai Sombrero graduating from a food truck into their first brick-and-mortar location at the American Eat Company. I always root these food truck guys on as they work their way up the food incubator scale, going from food truck to food hall to what will hopefully for them be eventually their own brick-and-mortar, full-service, standalone location over there. So big props to those particular owners over there as they start to move in the right direction. That is Chuy Oleta and his wife are opening up that concept. And so that should be open, I believe, this week in American Eat Company. So do go check them out. On a sad news, Chinito Gordo, a similar, you know, Chinese Mexican fusion concept on Oracle, has announced they're closing. 5 years in business and they are shutting down.
The law of conservation of Chinese Mexican matter.
Right, yeah. Right. It's a difficult spot where they happen to be located at, you know, that south part of Oracle, like just south of Grant Road. You know, like that's a tough neighborhood in the 85705. They've made it 5 year run in that particular location, but they've announced that at the end of restaurant season, as we talked about, right around Memorial Day, that they are going to be hanging up the chopsticks over there at Chinito Gordo. And so I'm really sorry to hear about that one happening over there. In the news this week, the Sonoran Sip Company is opening up 3 taco and smoothie concepts here in Tucson, which is pretty exciting to see somebody take a stab at both opening 3, but also somewhat simultaneously as well, too. That's sort of an atypical way of growing here in this business. Normally, it's 1. And a proof of concept, and you try it out for you know, a year, and you figure it out. A second one, we had Colby Quist on, you know, at the beginning of the hour, and they did a Jimmy's Pita and Pokey in 2017, and then one in 2018. And then, you know, post-COVID, they're opening up one this year as well, too. It's really interesting when I hear about people just coming right out of the hole and going, we're going to do a 3-restaurant deal. We're coming at different parts of the city. And so they've filed for permits now for 3 Sonoran Sip companies to pop up here in the Old Pueblo. And so we're pretty excited to see what that like entails, as local coffee is always something we're a big fan of over here at the Morning Voice. There's been a bit of drama on the Sunshine Mile, of course, over at Rocco's, where he had a sign up in front of his store over these last couple months saying that law enforcement wasn't welcome without a warrant. And that set off a huge stink on Facebook, on Instagram, as both sides of the political equation get charged up on this one. And I think there's probably a lot of misunderstanding happening with that particular sign over here. There's been a lot of talk, and whether this really happens or not, I can't tell you, but a lot of talk about immigration and immigration reform and ICE coming into restaurants. Restaurants are always a target of immigration in the sense of, do you have illegal immigrants working in your kitchen in some capacity? There's always like this, you know, sort of legend, this urban legend of how they have this going. And so there's been a lot of this undertones on social media that suddenly with the Trump administration, there was going to be these massive ICE raids on restaurants. And sure enough, Landita on 4th Avenue had an immigration incident about 3 months ago, and they played that tune on social media quickly that this was a big deal and this was happening, you know, across the country, not just in Southern Arizona. Well, I had the opportunity to go to the National Restaurant Association's legislative conference a few weeks ago and meet with the head of the National Restaurant Association, Michelle Corsmo, and ask her specifically that question. Are there immigration raids going on at restaurants at some greater clip than what we had pre-January 20th, 2025. And she told me no, that they've certainly had their finger on the pulse of this one, you know, that they were concerned. She hears those rumors the same way I do. And that I won't say there's been zero immigration enforcement in restaurants. There are tens of thousands of restaurants. You know, there's 15,000 restaurants just in Arizona alone. I'm sure somebody out there has had this problem, but it's not happening at such a great regularity that it's really a big difference today than it was, say, 4 months ago. However, signs like what Rocco's are putting up have to do with this. The idea is like, hey, immigration enforcement, if you're going to come, like, we kind of want to see the papers over here. We don't want this to be, you know, just a cursory inspection without your legal right to do so. He has the right to put that sign in his window. And of course, social media has the right to get upset about it in some capacity, taking it as a slap in the face of law enforcement officials. And I don't really think that's the case with Rocco. Like, his dad was a police officer for 33 years. He's a nice guy. Ultimately, I think he was just bowing to the social media rumors that suddenly ICE was going to come blast his restaurant along with every other one, and this was going to be a huge problem. And it really thus far hasn't been. And so I think this one's gotten played way out of proportion over here. We're still big fans of Rocco's and the Sunshine Mile over here and wish him a tremendous amount of success as he moves into his new location on Broadway, just down the street from his former spot. And the Borderlands drama continues as well, too. Both sides continue to take sides on social media, both Rio Nuevo, Peach Properties, and of course, S. Turan, owner and operator of the Borderlands Breweries, as they prepare to move out of their location, making room for the Punchline Comedy Club operated by Live Nation. But I continue to say and have alarm and worry that Borderlands may be moving in the wrong direction over here, losing that location and choosing to operate at both 6th and Tucson, and what I think is a really challenging location at Craycroft and River, right? That northeast corner where Whole Foods is over there. They've opened up sort of a brewcade, like a adult-themed arcade that doesn't have food. It's just a bar and arcade games without food at River and Craycroft. Like, I don't know that that's the right landing for a you know, game-specific location like that, that might be focused more on a youthful location such as 4th Avenue or even Broadway and or what's popping up over here. Like, River and Craycroft is certainly a little older and a little grayer.
They're upstairs. Wasn't he on with you maybe during the jump-in days, but I do remember this. Yeah,
they're upstairs in that location. Yeah. That's been a pile of different spaces. Sure. As well, too. I mean, you get it back into, you know, the various, there was an Italian restaurant in there, and then it was Harvest, and it was the Skybox, and it's just been a whole number of things. Like, there's a lot of storm clouds on the horizon for local breweries over here, and I worry that Borderlands is maybe next in the crosshairs of that one. And so, like, do get out there and support your local breweries. We try to have a lot of them on this show over here, and this is one I am certainly concerned about in our food for thought for today. But let's take a quick break, and we're going to come back with some Mother's Day tips for you out there. We've got Mexican Mother's Day coming up on Saturday, American Mother's Day coming up on Sunday. It's going to be a whopper. We got lots of tips for you coming up after the break on The Morning Voice. You're listening to Grant Kruger on 10:30 a.m. Matt Neely always bringing the grooves for us over here on The Morning Voice. I am your host, Grant Kruger. Hey, coming up this weekend is Mother's Day. We talked a lot about big tops and quite frankly, graduation week coming up. But this weekend, it really kicks off with a pair of Mother's Day. To begin with, on Saturday, it's Mexican Mother's Day. For those that don't know, May 10th happens to always be Mother's Day in the country just south of us, known as Mexico. And it's always the 10th, unlike the United States, that it happens to be a Sunday always, right? The second Sunday of May. Mexican Mother's Day hits on the 10th, no matter what day of the week it has. So some years they line up to be exactly the same, and some weeks they're a little bit different. But essentially, we're getting 2 days of Mother's Day in a row, Saturday and Sunday combo over here this year. And I wanted to talk to you guys about Mother's Day and ways to handle that one to make it as pleasurable of an experience as possible for you. First and foremost, an industry trick, Mother's Day happens to be incredibly brunch-centric. It's maybe one of the busier brunches of the entire year, right? Father's Day doesn't get hardly any restaurant draw at all. I would come out and say that Father's Day happens to be probably slower than a regular Sunday because nearly everybody cooks at home for Dad. But Mother's Day, we kind of aren't as good at cooking at home as a sweeping generalization on the male side of things over here. And so we tend to want to take Mom out to eat. Makes a lot of sense to me. Who doesn't love to go out to eat for a family? It's one of the greatest things in society that we can do. Everybody gets to order whatever they want. There can be alcohol. Nobody has to do any dishes. It's fantastic. However, everybody hits Mother's Day brunch at the exact same time. You want to get it over with and celebrate Mom early and show her that she's number one. But brunch can be a pretty tough shift for restaurants, particularly for a lot of big tables. Dinner on Mother's Day isn't as busy as the brunch shifts. And so to begin with, like our first tip today is take a look at potential dinner services as well too, as opposed to brunch. It may be a little easier for the restaurants to execute as well too. Places that only do eggs and egg dishes once a week on say a Sunday brunch, just by their nature, aren't going to be as good at it as say their dinner menu that they do 7 days a week. And as well, the shift won't be as busy. And so if you go in the evening, even like early evening, think 4:30, 5, 6 o'clock, you're far more likely to both find a table without a reservation and probably more likely to get better service as well too on a Mother's Day when you don't have to deal with the bottomless mimosas and the coffees and the all the sort of accoutrement and sides that come together with brunch. So do take a stab at dinner as opposed to brunch up front. Number two, of course, look for reservations any way you get an opportunity to do that. Nobody wants to wait for Mom. Not every place takes reservations. A lot of breakfast places don't. By their nature, breakfast service is faster and turns the tables quicker, but they often don't take reservations. So yet it's another reason to look into the evening side of things is that you're far more likely to be able to get a reservation. And generally for $0, like this is nothing more than a phone call and perhaps leaving your name and phone number. And now you're guaranteeing a spot for Mom at 4, 5, or 6 p.m. And so certainly something else that you should look for when you go to take out Mom in some places. And then the other thing is to look for places that aren't as stereotypical, right? When you think of Moms and you think of brunchy Mother's Day things, you already know some of the local places that are going to be busy. But some of the more ethnic cuisines that Mom might like aren't traditional Mother's Day places. And so maybe this is the day to take her out for, you know, some sort of, you know, Chinese food or the latest Thai restaurant or some place like this that, like, by its nature isn't the sexy Italian restaurant or the steakhouse or something along these lines. If you go to, you know, some sort of ethnicity on your restaurants, it's far, far less likely to be busy on Mother's Day because it's not going to be as cliched as taking her to the grill at Hacienda del Sol or, you know, over to Snooze or to, you know, some places that you sort of expect that you're going to see for Mother's Day. So think,
some she's probably not going to fix.
Yes.
So
think about that as well, too, like straying outside of your traditional cliched comfort zones and, you know, checking out the local, you know, Peruvian restaurant or something along these lines might be a great opportunity to do so. And you're far, far less likely to find crowds than you are in your same typical place over and over again. And so ultimately, you just need to be in control of the situation, not end up with an hour and a half wait on a Sunday morning post-church in the same old breakfast place over and over again for Mom. I know you want to get Mother's Day done quickly and show your love and be great at it. I love my mom if you're out there listening. But like, I also want your service experiences to be successful. And I know that over these next 10 days, it's going to be incredibly challenging in Tucson because there are going to be so many big tables, not just for college graduation, but for even the high school graduations as well too. And with both Mexican Mother's Day and Mother's Day hitting, you know, essentially within 24 hours of each other, you're really getting this, you know, 48-hour period of Mother's Day in the restaurants. And so, like, it's going to be jamming this weekend. So just come, you know, either really early or go, I won't even say really late. Like, I'm telling you, like, 5 o'clock thing will literally be your savior. You can find an awful lot of restaurants can take you at that particular time. I've, for years, taken either my mother or mother-in-law out to a late Sunday dinner because naturally, What am I doing Sunday morning? I'm working, right? I'm in the restaurant business. And when I hit those later Sunday dinners on Mother's Day, it's not crazy. It's not what you think. Like, there is absolutely an opportunity for you to make that happen if you just don't go at the exact time as everybody else. So take these tips into mind when you think about Mother's Day, when you think about graduation week, and be kind to your local establishments because they are grinding it out for these last couple weeks of season. This is truly, truly the tail end of season where we've got to squirrel away our nuts for the summer to prepare for what should be a pretty long and hot summer season. I think last year in 2024 summer was the first real summer we've had in Tucson in probably 4 years, because we had a couple of odd COVID ones to begin with where, you know, there was lockdowns and restrictions. And then even in this sort of post-COVID come out, there was a real lack of international travel. Not so many people were willing to take their summer in Europe or to go, you know, hop on a plane or to disappear off to Mexico in some capacity. They were far more likely to stay home. And we saw that in a big rise in like the mountain towns in Arizona, right? Go to Prescott or go up to Pine Top and see what the weekends look like up there. But now summer travel is back. Last year was the first summer where I really felt it was like what 2018 and 2019 felt like. Like the streets a little more empty, sales were a little more down. And I heard this industry-wide, right? The liquor reps come in and they talk to me every single week. And so I get a pretty good pulse, you know, my finger on the pulse of what's happening to the restaurant industry in Southern Arizona. And they had a real significant drop last summer. And I think this one's going to happen this year as well, too, for the industry. And I worry about that. I truly am fearful for a lot of the local operators that are just sort of hanging on the edge over here. We've talked about that Monday sort of around Memorial Day being the Black Monday when the restaurants, you know, basically say tap out and say, I didn't have enough gas to get through over here. And I worry that we're going to see a little bit more this season, as in general, there's been this sort of sweeping decline industry-wide for pretty much the last calendar year, maybe like 13 or 14 months, sort of heading in the wrong direction. And that's not a political statement. That's just restaurant sales. But when we come back after the break, we're going to bring on another pair of restaurateurs. We're going to have Chad and Aubrey Vargas, owner of Wings and Moss. They opened up just recently in the last year and a half or so on West Prince Road, talking to some more local restaurateurs over here. That's what we do. We are the Morning Voice on 10:30 a.m. You're home for local news and talk. Don't go anywhere.
And again, tomorrow, Thursday, with Tom Moulton. Tom's going to take us filming in Southern Arizona. He's got guest Mark Sankey. He's the manager of the Mezcal movie location. And Peter Catalanote, the director of Film Tucson. That's coming up tomorrow on The Morning Voice with Tom Moulton.
Welcome back to The Morning Voice. I am your host, Grant Kruger, and we've got the special pleasure of being joined live in the KVUI studios by Mr. and Mrs. Chad and Aubrey Vargas, owners of Wings and Moss, Wings E Moss on Prince Road. Welcome, guys.
Hi. All right,
thank you for having us. Yeah.
Hey, thanks for coming and joining us on The Morning Voice today. Why don't you break down, give me a little background on Wings and Moss over here.
You want to go? Go ahead. You do it.
We're on Prince Road. We're on at 1145 West Prince Road. We've been there. We opened in July of 2023. We have, we're a chicken wing specific restaurant. We've expanded a little bit recently on our menu to add a little more EMOS items, but our thing is chicken wings.
I love it. Yeah. Chicken wings are one of my favorite foods over here. I have a daughter, I think, that grew up eating only chicken wings for a number of years. So I can speak that you can, in fact, survive on this one. Mm-hmm. So what are your hours of operation? When are you guys open at Wings E Moss?
We operate from
10:30 a.m. to 8:30 p.m. every day except Tuesdays. We are closed Tuesdays.
Yeah, Tuesday's the only day that we're closed in the whole week. Yeah.
That's your one day off for you guys over here in some capacity?
Yeah, we're kind of off that day, but yeah.
I love it. It makes sense. You need one sometimes to keep the family life healthy. And sometimes it's really helpful, too, to find some time to be able to do some repairs as well, too.
Oh, yeah.
When do you paint the place? When do you fix the plumbing? How you pull that one off? So what inspired you guys to open up a chicken wing restaurant here in Tucson?
I just say we've always had a passion for great food, and wings are one of those that just kind of bring people together, you know. You watch games, sports, family nights, or just any sort of celebration. And we felt like Tucson was kind of missing a wing specific restaurant, you know, like there are pizza places with wings or bars that have wings, and we just kind of wanted to tap into being a wing only place. And you know, we wanted to create a place that felt like home for wing lovers, young and old, with food that kind of speaks for itself, you know. So
what do you think sets your wings apart from the competition in a crowded field of wings? Because it's certainly, you know, a favorite in many a local sports bar over here. What makes Wingsy Mas better?
We always use, you know, fresh, never frozen. And we like to think that we have the crispiest wings in town. Really, that's like our claim to fame, if you want to call it that. We also have flavors that are very specific to to Tucson and the Sonoran Desert, like our chilta bean and our hot limon. Those are, you know.
Wow, those are pretty cool and unique flavors. I mean, most of the time you just end up with like, here's our barbecue and here's, you know, the various shades of hot and here's a lemon pepper or something like that. You've got a chilta bean over there.
Yeah, I mean, we do have those flavors, you know, as well.
Because of course.
They're kind of needed, you know, but we did want to pay kind of homage to, you know, like I said, the Sonoran area, and you know, chilta bean is one of the peppers that is very prominent here, and you know, people love it. So, yeah.
I got tricked by those little red guys when I first moved down to Mexico. I lived out in Mexico for 11 years and had a restaurant down there, and they're like, "Hey, güero, try out one of these little chilies over here. They're not that spicy. The spice has to do with the size." Mm-hmm. And sure enough, that turned out to be fake news.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're so pretty, right? They look like nice and red, so. I mean,
so what kind of atmosphere can guests expect when they walk through your doors over here at Wingsy Mas?
You know, we try and keep a very like welcoming, upbeat, fun atmosphere. It used to be the location used to be a bar before, so we brightened up the place and tried to make it very family friendly, and we really strive to make it you know, to treat everyone like family, because we've got a big family ourselves, we've got kids ourselves, and we try and like incorporate all of that in there to make it doesn't look like much on the outside. It's a building with no windows, but when you walk in, it's well lit, and we've got seating. We can accommodate, you know, small parties, large parties. We can pretty much do it all there, and like I said, we try and treat everyone like family, learn everyone's, you know, favorite items, and we already know what they want to drink before they even sit down. So
We got sports on the TVs. Usually we got music in there going, so it's very, very fun, upbeat. You know, if you want to see any sports or any kind of event that's coming up, you can come in, and you know, more than happy to kind of put the TVs on, whatever you like to watch, you know.
So your location, which is 1145 West Prince Road, for those that are listening, had been a well-known bar in Tucson for a number of years. It was most recently the County Line, and then after that, the Billy Bar. This had been redone by John Taffer
from
Bar Rescue.
Yeah.
How much of a remodel did you guys do post the John Taffer remodel?
We did. It was a pretty significant remodel, I would say. A lot of the stuff was just, I would say, like cosmetic, you know, like just fixing it up, making some paint, making it look good. So
we had to go and do like a little bit more of the background stuff. Like when they went in and did Bar Rescue, it looked like they kind of just put some paint on it and.
That's because they did just probably put some paint on it. When you have to fix a restaurant for $10,000 inside of 48 hours, you've got a sort of a limit in both time and budget, right?
Yeah.
So we had to do some, some actual like structural work in there and just really clean up the place. It's taken a lot of time to like get it to where it's at a good spot right now where we can just maintain.
Yeah.
And where
we also had to expand the kitchen a little bit because we wanted to be able to provide the service, quality and get the food out quickly, you know. So we did need to expand the kitchen a tiny bit because it was like one person could fit in there, and someone like me, and so I'd have to have a tiny small person in there with me, you know, if I wanted to have two people at the same time. So
yeah, that makes a challenge, of course. You could sometimes pretty helpful to have a second kitchen staff member to kick out food for a lot of people. So how do you make it family friendly? How do you go from a bar that didn't have any windows into a family establishment? Like, what's the trick to making this family friendly? What kind of options do you got for kids?
For kids, we have kids menu includes like corn dogs. We have our boneless wings, and we actually have a lot of kids that like bone-in wings, which was surprising to us when we first started. Kids love wings, so and we've got like you know, your classic applesauce, your tater tots, your fries. And we just, like I said, we brightened up the place and we close at 8:30. So we don't have that like late crowd. You don't have to worry about like drunk people at the bar. We, you know, we keep it light and make sure that everyone's having a good time. And we've got these rubber chickens all over the restaurant that we give out to kids. Yeah. They love those.
They love them, but their parents kind of hate them. You know, they're like, oh, thanks for giving my kid this really loud toy.
Does it squeak? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Yes, so I can already hear that like in the back of my head over here.
Oh, too. Yeah, the kids are happy, but the parents are behind us just giving us the, you know, the worst look. Like, what'd you just do to me, you know, for the rest of the day. So
they got to ride home with that in the car.
Yeah, like you said, everything, we close at 8:30. We open at 10:30, so we kind of catch a lunch, more towards the more lunch and dinner crowd. So just being able to close early and kind of keep that vibe of family, like come have your dinner here, or even on, you know, on a weekend night, or if you're having a night out, you can come have dinner with us, and then you can continue with your night, you know, somewhere else, like, you know, any other bar that's close by or however far away they want to go, but they can definitely get it kicked off there with us.
So I have a great perspective here. Chad, you got this awesome shirt on. And it's got a drumette and a flat. It's got two wings, so with the sauced up and everything.
Yeah.
It's just an awesome shirt. But it's got 23 up in the upper left corner. So what's the significance there?
We usually try to sneak the 23 in everywhere just because we opened in 2023. So that's
okay.
For us, that's the significance of that. You know, we usually try to put our logo and then the 23 just to symbolize that's the significance of that.
Yeah. Any wing lover, if that shirt is for sale in your shop, any wing lover, I'm sure will want that shirt as swag. Yeah,
we do. We're definitely working on right now. You know, we're in the works of working on a Printify store, like a print on demand.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, soon we'll have that link up on our Instagram once we get there. But these shirts will be available to buy for anybody who wants to grab one. So
yeah, Chad and Aubrey are rocking some pretty cool matching swag over here from Wings and Moss. I gotta say, I'm jealous. I think I gotta up my swag game over here at Union Hospitality Group. I'm bringing a knife to a gunfight for sure on this one. So you guys have a lot of restaurant experience between the two as well too, no?
Yeah, that's correct. We I worked in the restaurant industry since I got out of high school, and obviously I'm still in it now, so it kind of...
This is the restaurant industry, not high school.
Yeah. and he himself, he worked his way up from a dishwasher and, you know, cooked with the best of them. So we've combined have 30 years experience, and we have a big, like I mentioned before, big family. My mom has served before. She still serves at the restaurant with us and makes our salsa, family recipe salsa, and my sisters work there, and my dad, he helps us with all of the maintenance and behind the scenes stuff, and so we have a big support there, and so combined we do just have a lot of experience and a lot of people who care about the place and are trying to do the best by it at all times. So and we couldn't do it without them, because the restaurant, and you know, it takes over your life.
Yeah. It's a family affair, truly. Yeah. Why don't we take a quick break over here? We're going to have one more segment from the dynamic duo of Chad and Aubrey Vargas, owner of Wings and Moss at 1145 West Prince Road, talking about all the challenges of opening up local restaurants here in Southern Arizona. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Grant Kruger on The Morning Voice, 10:30 a.m. Welcome back to The Morning Voice. I'm your host, Grant Kruger. Very excited to spend part of this Wednesday morning with you. And we've got one more segment over here with the dynamic owners of Wingsy Moss. Chad and Aubrey Vargas are joining us, taking a little time off from their restaurant before they head back to Wingsy Moss at 1145 West Prince Road. Hey, break down for us. Can we get your wings to go over here? What sort of platforms are you using right now to sell wings to go?
Right now, we're currently on DoorDash, Grubhub, and Uber Eats. And then, of course, you can just do it the old-fashioned way, call into the restaurant and order to go. We can do to go straight from the restaurant. But if you want delivery, we've got those three. And then we are, of course, we've got our deals in the restaurant, which you can't get on the DoorDash and Grubhub and Uber Eats. But on Mondays, we've got a deal going on. We've got the buy one, get one half off on the dozens. And then on Wednesdays, we've got $5 off of our dozen. So that makes 12 wings for $12.
Wow, that's a great deal, especially given the price of wings these days as well, too.
Yeah, and that's only available in the restaurant and to go from directly us. But otherwise, we are on those other platforms as well.
You can still call in and get it. Just you can't get it on the...
I always recommend to our listeners to go to the restaurants directly. Yeah. Most people don't understand exactly how big of a bite DoorDash, Postmates, Grubhubs of the world take from a restaurant. Yeah. And it can be anywhere from 15 to 30%, mm-hmm. depending on your sales volume and how well you're able to negotiate with those platforms. If you really, really, truly want to help out local, I always recommend that you go direct to the source, to the restaurant itself, or just direct through their website, as mm-hmm. opposed to these third-party platforms. Which do take a healthy commission.
Yeah, definitely.
Hey, so tell me something about your restaurant that most people don't know, but that they should.
We have a big variety of sauces that we, most are curated by my husband and our other staff really, like, they think about these things. They are not just throwing stuff out there and saying, like, hey, try this. They really work hard on all of the sauces that we make in-house. And I think that they're unique things that you wouldn't necessarily think about on chicken wings. Right now we have a Szechuan chili oil, and that one's been a really, really popular one. The one we mentioned earlier, Hot Limon, was our flavor of the month back in August when we first opened. And everyone begged for that. That one we just had to put on the menu.
So we put it on the menu, yeah.
We just got done with a hot pickle one. So we try and keep it exciting and fun with our flavors, and there's always something new. So definitely stop in, you know.
I also think the location as well. You know, a lot of people drive by daily and they don't, it's just a hole in the wall. So they'll drive by and they don't even know we're there. And once they find out, they're like, oh, I wish I would have known sooner so we could have been in, you know, plenty of times. Also, we get a lot of people that say, like, oh, the neighborhood is kind of, you know, it's a little rough, but inside, like she said, when you come in, it's very inviting, it's very fun, it's upbeat, and people are very surprised that it's such a
so clean and well lit and
so you know, just know that we're there, and you know, 1145 West Prince, come in, check us out, give us a chance, and you won't be disappointed, you know. So
just east of Flowing Wells.
Mm-hmm, yeah, just east. It's between Flowing Wells and
Fairview.
Yeah, right across from the Wells Fargo Bank, right there.
So, give me a little more rundown of the EMAS, right? And more, because sometimes a name can be so limiting. Last year, there was a business that closed in Tucson that was called Just Churros, and I sort of thought to myself, "Gosh, that name doesn't work so well because you're hamstrung. Like, you can never add to that menu, yeah, right? Your name is Just Churros. It would be a misnomer if you had something else. Mm-hmm. Give me the EMAS over here."
And that's exactly why everyone asks, like, what came from the EMAS? And we wanted to not limit ourselves to wings. We do want to do wings, and that's what we love to do, and I think we do them very well. But we wanted to have that EMAS to have that freedom. Yeah, you know, he's cooked for so long that it's like we didn't want to limit ourselves with that. So we have, like, our chips and salsa. We added chicharrones to the menu. Those are very popular now that we've got those on there.
And I think the other thing is, like, our sauces, as you know, we talked about earlier, like having a chilta bean sauce. That's a little bit of on the EMAS side, because it's not traditional, like you said, you know, 10 different variations of hot.
Buffalo,
you know. So the hot limon is something that kind of we came up with it, and then it kind of was derived from people putting hot Cheetos and putting lime on it and putting tahini.
Sure,
so that's really a spin on that.
So give me a breakdown of where listeners can find you guys. The address, your location, your social medias over here.
Yeah, we've got, I keep Google very updated with our hours, any closures we have going on, and our social media. They can find us on Instagram at wings_y_moss. And we keep that very up to date as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Facebook, Wingsy Moss. I mean, just put that in there and you'll see us right away. So
great. And phone number?
It's 520-777-3301.
And I recommend that listeners go direct to that one as opposed to using those third-party platforms over here.
Yes, thank you.
I really appreciate you guys taking the time out of your Wednesday to come tell us about your restaurant entrepreneurial venture over here. Wingsy Moss has been around since 2023. Yes. And I just want to say a big thank you to Chad and Aubrey Vargas for joining us over here.
Thank you. Right, we appreciate you guys for having us.
Yeah, come out and see us today if you get a chance. Don't wait. It's Wing Wednesday, so it's that $5 off dozen. So come in today and check us out.
Wing Wednesday. You heard it here first over here on 10:30 a.m. The Voice. Again, it's been our pleasure to get to spend Wednesday morning with you. Every 7 to 9 a.m. on the weekdays, you've got The Morning Voice. Tomorrow, we've got Tom Moulton coming up, bringing in Mark Sankey from the manager of the Mezcal movie location, and Peter Catalinati, film Tucson director. It's been amazing to spend this Wednesday morning with you on The Morning Voice. I'm your host, Grant Kruger. Looking forward to joining you next week. Enjoy your Mother's Day out there, everyone. Thanks so much for listening.